Greetings, I'm Bill Klatke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Dr. Willow Long Imam, who is Assistant Professor of the Urban Studies and Planning Program in the Department of Community Development for the National Center for Smart Growth Research and Education at the University of Maryland at College Park. And this is the second of interviews with Dr. Imam. And this is about a special study that was just done on West Baltimore, which has implications for every neighborhood. So, Dr. Imam, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me back, Bill.
Thank you so much. And I can call you Willow?
Yes, of course.
Okay, great. Thank you. First of all, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar and might not have heard our previous program, could you tell us a little bit about the university and the center, please?
Sure. So the University of Maryland is, I'm in the College Park office, and we've been around for quite a long time. Uh-huh. I'm both assistant professor in the Urban Studies and Planning Program in the School of Architecture, Planning, and Preservation, and also serve as Director of Community Development at the National Center for Smart Growth Research and Education, which is one of the lead authors of this report. And that center has been around since about 2000. It was an initiative of Governor Paris Glendening. And it's a four-school center on the campus that really focuses on issues of smart growth, research, and education. And that spans everything from thinking about issues of community development to transportation, land use, and economic development to make our cities more efficient, more environmentally friendly, and more socially just.
And finally, better for everybody.
Better for everybody.
Better for everybody. Thank you. Let's talk a little bit about a little bit more about the National Center. I'm old enough where I remember Governor Glendening, and I remember the Smart Growth Initiative. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if a lot of our folks really understand what smart growth is.
Okay. So I would describe smart growth as an effort to create more compact neighborhoods and more compact growth in order to have multiple kinds of benefits, economic benefits, environmental benefits, and social benefits. Mm-hmm. Because we know when cities sprawl, there are costs to sprawl. There are costs in terms of commute times. Right. There are costs in terms of environmental costs, such as the loss of forested areas. Mm-hmm. And there are costs in terms of social benefits. When we don't have compact communities, oftentimes we don't have investments in small businesses. A lot of times it allows wealth to sort of concentrate in certain areas, and we don't have as many mixed income communities when we allow communities to sprawl. So smart growth is a way of trying to adapt policies and practices that really think about how we can grow our cities and not have all those costs, but instead have a better set of shared benefits among more people.
Great. Thanks. Let's talk, how can someone find out more information about the center?
The Smart Growth Center has a website at the University of Maryland, and it also has, of course, a number that you can call. And we also have our Twitter handle. So the Twitter handle is smartgrowth@umd. And then the Smart Growth Center website is www.umdsmartgrowth.org, or you can call 301-405-6788.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. Let's talk about the study on West Baltimore. Why?
Well,
Who, what, where, when, why?
So this study came out of some funding from the National Science Foundation and from Enterprise Community Partners, which is a national philanthropist and a nonprofit that does housing, affordable housing development. And we were concerned that with the investment of so much technology in cities today, Baltimore included, that there are some communities that are being left behind in not only the conversations about the investments and what kind of investments should happen, but also in the investments themselves.
So
a lot of cities these days, not only in Baltimore, but around the U.S. and around the world, are increasingly pushing technology through the infrastructure of cities in order to collect data about neighborhoods, in order
right.
to collect information about how their city works and make them more efficient and ultimately help to serve residents better.
Yeah, like, for example, use of parks or use of streets, and so that has implications for traffic signals and for recreational money and for all kinds of things.
Exactly. So you can think about your neighborhood bus, right? And how
right.
do you know if your bus is coming on time? Well, you used to have to look at the paper schedule to figure out whether the bus is coming
right.
on time. Now you have real-time signals on buses that mm-hmm. are telling you whether your bus is coming on time. And obviously that could make it better for residents to not be standing at the bus stop longer. But is that informed by the perspectives of all residents of cities? Are we making those investments in all neighborhoods? And are
yeah.
we talking to communities to make sure that those investments work for them?
Right, because we can set these things up, but if somebody doesn't have a cell phone to access it, they're out of luck.
Exactly.
They can't get the paper schedule, and they can't access it online. So what are they going to do?
Exactly.
Yeah. When we're talking about the area in West Baltimore, what precisely was the area you studied?
So we're talking largely about the Druid Heights, Upton neighborhoods of West Baltimore. These are neighborhoods that are served by a few community-based organizations that we worked with very closely for this study. One of them is the Druid Heights Community Development Corporation. Another is the Mount Royal Community Development Corporation. And the final one is Upton Planning Committee.
So really, geographically, we're speaking North Avenue as the northern boundary, kind of, and down through Lafayette, through Pennsylvania Avenue, running down through.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, sounds about right. Okay. So Madison Park would be in there, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, great. What did you do?
So for this study, we at the National Center at the University of Maryland and some other folks at the University of Maryland partnered with Morgan State, the community-based organizations that I talked about, to talk to residents about what problems they were experiencing in their neighborhoods,
mm-hmm.
to try to understand what are the priorities for neighborhood improvement in this community. And then what does technology look like in this community? What does technology access and barriers to technology look like in this community? And also, what were some of the strategies that communities had to overcome some of those mm-hmm. barriers and mm-hmm. to address the critical problems? And this really came out of thinking about how do we make technologies work for low-income, resource-strapped communities like this West Baltimore community, so that we make sure that the investments that are made in smart city technologies don't further the digital divide, don't further the opportunity gap that exists mm-hmm. between this neighborhood and others. So if we're going to get a new bus information, let's figure out how many people ride the bus. Let's figure out what their existing barriers are to bus access.
Right.
What's the problems here? What problem are we trying to solve? And how can we best solve it with communities and knowing the kinds of constraints that they already face in terms of technology?
And you ask, I saw from reading a summary of the report that you ask the folks themselves. You ask the residents themselves in focus groups and surveys and I guess through discussions with the organizations. And what did you find?
So we found a lot of things. First of all, we worked with these community-based groups to outreach to a diverse group of residents. So we ended up doing 7 focus groups in everywhere from elementary schools to senior homes to longstanding community-based groups and recreation centers and high schools. So we really talk to a diverse group of folks throughout the city. And what we found was is that, you know, there were some clear neighborhood priorities, although there are a lot of issues that the neighborhood would like to solve. Safety and job access really kind of rose to the top as key areas. But in terms of access to technology, we've really found that there was a lot of constraints in this neighborhood about how you could use technology to address any one of those priorities. A lot of people in this neighborhood do not have home computers. I think that's something that we often take for granted, is that everybody can go home, access the internet, and you know, look for a job, fill out a job application. That if something happens with crime in the neighborhood, that somebody could go onto a website easily at home and help to report the crime. But how do you do that if you don't have a home computer, and you access the computer regularly at the library?
Exactly.
That's sometimes has time limitations and other things that might make it really inconvenient. And we also found that even people who had home computers or other people who might utilize the internet have pretty unreliable, slow internet access. Sometimes most people are using their cell phones to access the internet, and doing it in a way with sometimes unreliable cell phones, like payday cell phones, but also just getting really poor service. And so we heard stories of folks sitting on stoops in front of other people's homes in order to access the internet and utilizing other people's Wi-Fi
service.
Trying
to find some place where they could get another bar on their phone.
Exactly.
To get coverage.
Exactly. And kids that go to their schools in order to access the internet. And so we have to think about those kind of barriers, and we have to think about the creative ways in which people are actually accessing the internet if we're going to think about a technology solution that really works for this neighborhood to solve some of those critical issues.
And with those conclusions, with those conclusions, my first question is what will be the use, or what is the use of what is this report being used for?
Yeah, well, aside from
a nice way to learn more about Upton and Madison Park.
Yeah, well, we published the report in October, and we are currently circulating it to everybody that we can find who might care about the issue. And this includes all of our community-based partners who we think can use this to help provide better services and programs to their residents, but also to the Baltimore Office of Information Technology, which is currently developing a smart cities plan for Baltimore and is also currently making investments in smart trash cans, smart streetlights, crime detection and data processing in the city that we think need to be informed by the processes by the perspectives of community residents. And there's an outreach component to their plan as well. And so in the report, we talk about a lot about the critical components of community engagement in these processes, because one of the things that we found in talking to communities, and so there is a lot of repair and trust building that needs to happen, and that communities themselves want to have ownership over the data that's produced, and they want it to facilitate kinds of equity and access and choice in their neighborhoods. And if we're not having those conversations with the communities at the front end of planning technologies, then ultimately the technologies may not benefit them in the end, and it may further exacerbate the sense of alienation or trust that communities have in government processes that are ultimately there to serve them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for. Could you give us one more time, please, Willow, that contact information for the National Center and how folks can get a copy of this report?
Sure. They can get a copy of the report on our website, which is www.umdsmartgrowth.org, or calling 301-405-6788. And of course, also following us on Twitter at smartgrowth_UMD or myself at Dr. Lung Amam, LungAmam.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill.
Unfortunately, that's all we have time for in Living in Baltimore. I want to thank our guest, Dr. Willow Lung Amam, who is assistant professor in the Urban Studies and Planning Program at the University of Maryland College Park and director of community development for the National Center for Smart Growth Research and Education. Thank you, Willow.
Thank you.
Keep up your good work for all of us.
Will do.
And for Living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.